Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Don't miss the hottest watch of the season coming July 22nd. Boston George, famous without the fortune. Exclusive to Fandor.com. This original docuseries gets up close and personal with the man whose life inspired the movie Blow and ran with the likes of Pablo Escobar. You might think you know the real story, but you have no idea.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Fandor Video Podcast. I'm Hooman alongside the great Chris Kelly.
Hey, who?
Hey, great Chris.
Our
producer,
we're remote from each other today. Even we're
normally, we are, and our producer is here, but he's hiding because he's nursing a cold. We miss you, Bryn.
I miss you guys too.
Just behind there we go. The voice of God.
All right, we got two amazing directors coming up. Their names are Andrew Morgan, Nick Numerdor, and their film is called Sleaze Lake. Nick, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
What happened to your cat, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. This is Cecilia. She attends every Zoom meeting. And it's like she'll sleep all day long and then come out the second
for the meeting, right?
Yeah.
My cat Socks may make an appearance.
Perfect.
He jumps around. So.
Maybe we'll just have the cats meow at each other for a little while. Andrew, Nick, what is Sleaze Lake about?
Okay, Sleaze Lake is basically about the world's largest van club and the wildest party you've never heard of that they threw over a weekend in Indiana in 1977. So we kind of uncovered, did a little research and made this film about it, and it's just a barrel of monkeys.
So where in Indiana did this festival take place?
So this took place in Monticello, Indiana, which is down I-65. It's like probably 2.5 hours from Chicago.
Okay.
So pretty much the middle of nowhere, though. Cornfields, you know.
And did you guys actually go there and do some filming there and talk to residents there?
We did. So as part of the film, I mean, so this took place, you know, the film takes place in the 70s. It's all about this, you know, 70s van club, 70s event. But we did go down there, and I almost don't want to like spoil it for anyone, but we did go back to the scene of the proverbial crime.
Right. And then this is kind of a sequel, right? I mean, you guys have done van stuff before.
Yeah. So we started our doc careers, you know, in like 2009, 2010, something around there, fresh out of school in Chicago. And we had this idea to make a film called Vannin that was all about, you know, custom van culture in America, kind of where they came from. And we ended up filming that in 2012 at the Van Nationals, which is the largest, you know, like the largest gathering of vanners and vans in America. And that was in Wisconsin that year, and it travels around. So we made that film, had a little bit of success with it. Kind of became like a modern cult thing a little bit in certain ways, got some traction on Amazon. And then it was within filming that we're talking to one of our main characters, Howard, who appears in both films. And he said, in 1977, we built a town and burnt it to the ground and called it Sleaze Lake. And we were like, excuse me, so, you know, we ended up kind of following that train of thought into Sleaze Lake van life at its lowest and best.
It's like Burning Man for vans.
When this happened in 1977, did the press, any national press, cover it? It seems like this is something that's been forgotten.
Yeah, I don't know if the national press necessarily got into it like that same year, but the Van Club and the explosion of Van popularity at that time was covered. And the Van Club that's in the film was a part of a Rolling Stone article the following summer. And they mentioned Sleaze Lake by name.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, and, you know, it was not to interrupt, but it did get covered in like Hot Rod magazine as well. I think like at the time, certain van magazines, it was such a popular subculture for like such a short period of time that there were tons of van publications. And one of the biggest proponents of the van world at the time was a guy named Terry Cook, who was the editor in chief of Hot Rod magazine. So it got a little coverage, like Nick said, Rolling Stone a year later.
So when this film came out, did you guys do the film festival circuit, Sleaze Lake?
Yeah, we launched, basically sent out all the emails and stuff to film festivals as COVID started. So it was like March of 2020. Uh-huh. So it was all virtual for a year, pretty much. It was, and it's such a fun film to see with an audience. And so that was a bit of a bummer, but it was still really cool to kind of like get a lot of connections with people. We did really well on like basically any kind of underground film festival you could play at. We did very well at and had good turnouts.
Did you ever consider holding the movie for a year and then waiting to see when this craziness would end and then doing it, I guess, the right way?
I think we did consider it, but you know, we'd been working on it for so long. We kind of hit this point with that where we're like, it's time to just kind of be done with it in a way. You know, I think the trepidation, right? Or you know, some of the temptation as a filmmaker is if you sit on it, you're just going to keep working on it and working on it and working on it and whittling away at it. And I think we just hit this point where we had been going at it for 4 or 5 years, talking about it for 4 or 5 years, yeah. And it was like, let's just kind of get this out of our lives and move on. And even after that, you know, it was, I mean, gosh, even getting to this point, you know, like super excited for it to come out on Fandor and everything. I mean, even that was a process after. So yeah. I don't know. Nick,
like so many of the banners you covered, it was baked.
Yeah. Is there any chance that your film could inspire a new Sleaze Lake event in 2022 or 2023?
Ooh, I don't think it could ever be quite the same. There would have to be like big money involved and corporate sponsors and stuff. This was all DIY, like a group of people getting together and just like doing it for the hell of it. They, you know, they just wanted to throw an awesome party. There wasn't any money making schemes or anything. So, you know, I think there are, you know, events around the U.S. that are more like low key and attract a lot of people, but I don't think they would get the numbers of Sleaze Lake. You know, maybe they get a couple thousand people at their big party, but
I was going to say, what
20,000?
Okay, 20,000 is the estimate. Yeah. But I mean, the only thing that I know of that size is Burning Man, that's sort of regular. And, you know, Burning Man's gotten bigger than that. I think that they let 75 people, 1,000 people, or 80,000 people in last time. But that's, it's gotten quite institutionalized and you know, in a way that this just wasn't.
So I guess like, what's your favorite scene from the film without giving too much away?
There's one of those surprising questions. The favorite scene from the film. Wow. You know, I'm really proud of the way that we put together, I would call it the rise of Anning in it. I think that it's like, you can consider it a scene really, you know, where it's kind of like going through the rise of the popularity of Anning, the rise of the Club Midwest Vans LTD, who's kind of the center of the story. And I think it's just such a fun watch to kind of like, it's fast paced. And that's how the whole culture was in a way, really fast paced. It went from nothing to something within like 2 years. All of a sudden it was like, oh, let's all buy these weird boogie vans and put carpet in them and, you know, like travel the country. It just blew up like wildfire. I think that scene like really captures it. So it's like, even though I was one that edited it. And Nick and I've seen that 1,000 times. It's like, I still have fun watching that and kind of like watching all of them. You can tell that our characters in that like get to live in this space for a minute where they're like digging into their brains. You can tell they're having fun talking about it too. And the excitement that they felt in that era, I think.
Mm. And how about you, Nick? Do you have a favorite scene?
Ooh, just to be a little different than Andrew is, I like, the scene with Tom Spears where he's in front of his custom red, van and he's kind of doing a tour of it. And, he's just kind of talking about the good times and the future. And this is a guy that's been vanning for 50 years. And you can tell he still loves doing it. And he's kind of like giving you a tour of his like van graveyard, per se, in his yard. Like, well, I had this van and this van. But he points out that, you know, this awesome custom van is not what they would have driven in their van club in 1977. They were more about the party and the people and not so much about like the hot rodding aspects of it in their club in particular. But there's a little scene where he's just showing off the features of the van and the back gate opens up and Tom's in there and just kind of waves. And for whatever reason, that just like tickles me when I see every time he waves right in that little scene, it makes me happy.
So, as far as you could tell in 2022, is there still kind of a van culture or is it pretty? Oh, there is. Let's hear about it.
So go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, so I have a 73 Dodge van. So that's like kind of how we came to this whole thing in a nutshell. You know, there's more to the story. But so I bought that in 2011. And then I swear to God, around that time and around the time we made the first film, Bannon, everybody like just rediscovered it. Like all the vans that I think people joked about forever being like, oh, the creepy, the creeper van. What like
vans?
All of a sudden they just like looked cool again, or something, you know? And so everybody kind of rediscovered it at the same time. Now, is it as big as it was? Absolutely not. Will it be? Absolutely not. But I do think that there is a pretty strong van culture with people in their 20s and 30s are starting to buy these old vans, restore them. And there are still van events. The Van Nationals still, Van Nationals still happens every single year in a different state. And I'm actually a member of the club that still exists in the film. So I'm a member of Midwest Vans LTD, which is, you know, another kind of way that I think we came to this film and everything like that. So it's still happening. It's just happening in really small, you know, smaller ways. But I think, you know, with the caveat there that it makes it more interesting and more special. If there was huge corporate sponsorship, if it was like this huge thing like it used to be in the 70s where tire manufacturers would come out and right. put up a main stage and, you know, all that kind of stuff, it just wouldn't retain what it is now, which is kind of like a family reunion every year for a lot of people and, you know, a close, tight-knit group of unique individuals.
My parents bought a van conversion in like 1986 or 87, it must have been. And so I had access to that in high school, but never, they weren't part of van culture in any way. And I was too young to be part of that, but it was interesting to see sort of some recognition on the road for other people who had, you know, conversions and restored vans. And, you know, a buddy of mine, still one of my closest friends, had a VW from forever ago, and you know, has restored it and taken care of it and tricked it out over time, and, you know, still uses it for camping trips and everything else. And he's more tied to this than I am. But some amazing stuff from the film.
Wow, that's so funny, Chris. Yeah, I can't believe you're literally part of this culture. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm not for real, but you know, certainly touched it along the way. And for a while, it was fun to drive a van.
Well, I, you know, and I would just add to that too, that it takes a certain, I don't know, a certain type of person tends to have a van, and it's like a very DIY thing. Like I was always in a band in high school, mm-hmm. right? And like, you know, me and Nick and a lot of our friends, you know, Nick and I grew up together in Michigan, and it's like, well, you get in the van, you put all the gear in the van,
you take the van to go to the gig, right?
Yeah, and then you like drink beer in it while you're waiting to play your show or whatever.
Have a little adventure.
Yep. Yeah. And so there's like a DIY aspect to just like having a van, right? You can sleep in it on the road if you want to, or, you know, and so I think it's just like, it all translates, I guess, you know, to that old van life culture. You know, you get the new van life culture now, and like, and then there's this old school van life culture, which was really, I would say that like in what's depicted in our film, it's more like bikers or something, you know, it's more like Midwest Vans is more like Hell's Angels than they are you know, the modern idea of van life, yeah, is beautiful people at the beach.
Yeah, taking selfies at the beach with your van.
So I'd love to hear a story of, like, this movie coming out and someone finding you guys and just thanking you for this film and what it meant to them. Because you were in a bunch of film festivals, because you've been working on it for so long, there's got to be that one really great heartwarming story that just puts, like, a tear in your eye. Do you guys have that?
I don't know if heartwarming, but since this is our second van film, we are, you know, we will forever be the van movie guys. We're the movie guys, you know, yeah, if we show up to a van event. And a couple of years ago at the Van Nationals, when Vannon was on the front page of Amazon Prime that summer, it was just nuts. The amount of people that showed up, like, because they found out about it that week, or they bought a van and showed up to the big van festival, and they were, like, looking for characters in the film, like trading cards or something. They're like, oh, I got to meet so-and-so, and I got to meet so-and-so. Are they here? And you guys made that? Or, you know, there's a lot of nice, really nice people that have been in the scene for years that pull us aside and thank us all the time for giving them, you just covering their passion so lovingly.
Yeah,
nice.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mostly, we do have one anecdote that did come to mind. So we were doing a film festival in Northern Michigan, and that was, you know, this guy stood up, like Q&A time, right? And this guy stood up and he was like, hey, I was there. And it was just this, like, you know, this guy in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, all the way up in the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, we were on, like, Lake Superior, like a very small town.
And this guy was just like, I was there, and it was pretty much like that, like what's depicted in the film, you know, just like. And I think it's, like, become stuff of legend for the people that were there or were even around that town at the time. You know, it's this thing that, you know, I think a lot of people have forgotten about, obviously, but it's like the stuff of legend for the people that were in and around it, where they're just like, oh my God, that's right. When all the weirdo Vanners invaded our town and like, you couldn't buy any liquor or bread for 3 days because they bought it all out, you know?
Oh, that's so great. That's a great story. Okay. So, everyone, I have one more question, but just a gentle reminder. Sleaze Lake is on FanDuel. Please check it out. We'd love for you to watch it and support these guys. We're going to end the interview with this. If you could leave us with one movie that's meant a lot to you, it doesn't have to be your favorite film, what would it be? Andrew, we'll start with you.
Oh, I think in the spirit of Sleaze Lake, Heavy Metal Parking Lot, or I'm going to add another one, The Decline of Civilization Part 2, The Metal Years.
Great pick. And Heavy Metal Parking Lot has been promoted on FanDuel since its founding. It's a big deal.
It was a humongous. Is Nick wearing the shirt right now?
I am, yeah.
Nice.
It was like, we're going to be on FanDuel next to Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Like, hell yes. Like.
And how about you, Nick, if you could leave us with a film?
Shoot. I love the Anvil documentary. That's a wonderful film. American movie and home movie, like Christmas, first couple films are brilliant. But yeah, let's go with Anvil.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Anvil movie? Because I don't know what that
is. Anvil, the story of Anvil is it's basically a documentary about an old heavy metal band out of Canada that, you know, they started to rise in the 80s with Scorpions and Metallica and that sort of stuff, played the big festivals, and then everybody else got successful and they didn't, but they're still a band. And it's like based on this like lifelong friendship of the guitarist and the drummer. And you kind of see them in 2008 kind of writing their new album and going on tour again, and kind of like the history of the band. It's really heartwarming and funny and well edited. It's a great flick.
Awesome. Well, Nick, Andrew, wish you guys nothing but the best. We're so excited to have Sleaze Lake on FanDuel. And if people want to find you guys, are you on the social media platforms?
Yeah, on Instagram, we are Sleaze Lake with two E's, or at Little Cabin Films. That's our production company.
Nice.
Fantastic. You guys are great.
All right, gentlemen. We wish you nothing but the best.
Cheers. Thanks. This was fun. Thanks so much. We're thrilled to be on FanDuel.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.